Wake up! Wake up, Virginia! Amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. Praise God. Is it good to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And I'm glad to be here today. And I don't know what you came in with this morning, but God has a word for you. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. There's something special about corporate worship, right? You can be saved, right? You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to be going to church to be a Christian, but God installed, God gave us the church. Why? Because to be a strong Christian, you do need the church. And if you don't believe that this morning, then you maybe haven't joined a church that builds you up, edifies you, that come, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when we come together, he's in the midst of us. And when we worship and when we pray, we can send 1,000, but we can send 10,000 if there's more than one together. Amen? And God's word says, don't forsake the fellowship of the believers. We come together today to worship the King, and may he be honored in all things. Amen? Amen, church. Well, I don't know if you were here last week or not, but we started a new series in this month of September called Dear Church. Pastor Cody did an excellent job to share the heart of Dear Church. If you're here last week, will you say amen? Amen. And if you were late this morning, you missed a crazy announcement. You missed it. Of all days to be late, this was not the one. That was awesome and ridiculous all in one. Hallelujah. But I love what Pastor Sonny said, and it's so true. How can we celebrate a team, or how can we celebrate where we work, or how can we celebrate even family itself more than we celebrate our Savior, our Creator, and the one that gave his life for us? How could we do such a thing? That's why I'm thankful to be charismatic or Pentecostal. That's why I'm thankful to be evangelical. That's why I'm thankful that I come and I can worship the King, not just in solitude, which there's a time for it, but also with all that I am. And even if I physically have to show it like King David did, I'm so thankful to worship God with all that I am. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to try to sit down this morning like I did last week, and it actually turned out good. I didn't get quite as antsy as I thought I would, but I'm going to sit down this morning because this month I'd like to get personal with you. Amen? I'd like to talk from my heart. This month I'd like to get personal with you and talk as if you and I were together in my office and I was sharing with you what God has been talking to me about. Now, Ms. Sherry said in the office, which is so true, you would think there would be kind of a more simplistic word that God is giving us. You would think that maybe God was more touchy-feely, getting right into the heart of it all. But when I sat down and I've prayed and I've studied every week for this, God has just really been getting deep into some things. And I'm like, wow, God, right? Of all weeks where I'm coming and people and sharing with people, you're getting really deep with the things that you want to talk about, and I'm thankful for that. Last week is what I hope to do again this week. It's as if Paul was in the New Testament. He wrote to the churches so many letters, and we read those letters because they apply to us. And why does he write that? Those letters, he shares his love, he shares his concern, his correction, his counsel, and his prayers with the people that he loves and cares for the most. May I continue to do that this morning, church? Amen? 7 people want that, amen. Amen. And one in the back. Get a testimony. Come on. Can I get a testimony? Glory to God. Amen. Well, here, if you like it or not, that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. So, dear church, we never want to take for granted the amazing things God has done for us and how he continues to talk to us through his written word and his spoken word. When he makes things personal, they are to give us and to build us up and build our faith up and to tear down the demonic strongholds in our life and to empower us as God's children. The same is when God gives us something corporately as well. I pray you've been blessed by the letter last week on humanism and America. I pray that you have done your own studying and meditation on this subject as this was given to all of us by our Lord. It's vital not only to you personally, but to the society as a whole. I just want to take a side note. It was not easy to write. The enemy wants to fight against these things. The enemy does not want God to speak truth to us, church. Right? He wants to get our eyes, put wool over our eyes or whatever it is, and then we get self-focused, and a lot of times it's hard to do and to tell the truth. But the truth, church, will set you free. See, our kingdom mindset must be focused on the transformation of Jesus Christ and not to be deceived by the worldly mindset. Although it may seem like we live in ancient Rome or Babylon, the Lord will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He empowers us every day to make a kingdom impact. Follower of Jesus, are you making a kingdom impact in all that you do and everywhere that you go? America's had one revolution, and we currently are in our second. The first revolution was one of a colonist resistance. They won their political, religious, and physical freedoms in 1776 against Great Britain and its oppression. The second revolution is right now. It is being fought by the Christian resistance against a humanistic, unbiblical government and its oppressive world view. This morning, I would like to talk to you about an ever-growing, incomplete, and false theology found in America. Anybody excited? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Mess me up, man. Take my doctrine and line it up to the Word of God. It's a self-focused doctrine that has affected our society with eternal implications. Humanism, yes, has done some devastating damage in our country, our society, our government, and even in our own understanding of truth. Most everyone can agree with this. That is of a kingdom mindset. But there is, I believe, a main reason we allowed a humanistic and materialistic mindset to run unchecked in our country in the past 100 years. I must ask this question. Has the second revolution that we find ourselves in today, has this been caused by us? Have we not put up spiritual borders and allowed things to go unchecked and unchallenged? Have we in America forsaken our total rights as a child of God? Have we forgot the power and the influence that lies within? Dear church, there's something that must be talked about, exposed, and brought back into alignment with the Word of God within our American Christianity. Humans, they have a tendency to take something that is good and abuse it. Come on now. We are creatures that have a tendency to indulge ourselves to the extent of disaster. The inward flesh can have its way if we do not deny it daily. And it will reign if we do not pick up our cross. The devil. First of all, I want to say this. Y'all trying to be spiritual saying the devil did everything. No, you did most of that. The devil don't not have to do something because you've already done it yourself. The devil's not around every corner doing everything. You must battle the flesh as well. There are more than just the devil in this world that you must battle, that the spirit goes against. Amen? So the devil, he is out there and his demons are running around doing whatever they can to distract and destroy. But the devil, he's a great deceiver and he's the king of lies. He will twist anything he can that was intended for good. He will twist something until it becomes evil or until you become self-focused. If he can't get you bad, church, he'll get you busy on things that do not matter. I believe there's a central defect view of Christianity in America that started back from the Pietist movement. The Pietism This movement started in the 17th century and has shaped our modern beliefs within the church. First, I want to talk about the positive aspect on pietism. German Lutherans in the 17th century emphasized personal faith that helped develop biblical new doctrines and theology over and on our Christian living. The movement began as a healthy protest against formalism within the church because the church had become imbalanced. The church in that day put doctrine above all things, almost all things in our Christian faith. We can be thankful for this transformation that has taken place within our church in the past 400 years. It was a great movement from the cold orthodoxy of the church. There has been since then an emphasis, come on now, on personal faith with a personal Savior and personal change on one's life for holy living. There's most definitely the positive meaning with piety, but there is also the negative. The negative aspect of pietism has been within the last 400 years in the Western world because this movement, we now have a Platonic spirituality. Pietism has made a sharp division between the spiritual and the material world. It gave little to no importance to the material world. It helped us separate these two in the Christian culture and the Christian mindset. Piety left our world in the dust because of its self-focused faith. Suddenly, believers everywhere were focusing on their own faith, their own growth, and their own holy meetings. It's as if we forgot that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, to reach all nations, all people, all governments, and all countries. The American teachings of pray about situations only and the do not get physically involved with non-spiritual things has been grafted into every pulpit in America. It's a knees down, hands off, inward only, focused theology. Why is this a big deal, church? Because false piety caused Christianity and spirituality to be shut up in a small, isolated part of our life. It's where God could fit. Our totality of reality was ignored by the pietist thinking. We don't get involved with that. That's part of the world structure. Or it's part of the evil worldly thinking. We're God's people and we don't involve ourselves with those sort of things because they're not spiritual. May I say how many babies have been lost because we didn't get involved? Does the Bible say that we are not to be of this world, but also to be not in it as well? Jesus didn't act like the world or think like the world. Yes, this is a biblical truth. But did he have an inward-only faith? Is that where he focused only? Did he associate, influence, and get involved with only his own followers? What would America look like right now? Right now, if every level of society we had more Bible-believing CEOs, CFOs, government officials, lawmakers, judges, lawyers, social workers, and civil officials that understood there was no separation of the spiritual and the physical. What would it look like if we had many churches praying for and physically helping out in those areas? Now, I'm not saying sacrifice the holy. I'm not saying that you do evil things. See, what would our cities look like? What would our laws sound like? What would our neighborhoods, our schools, and our families look like, church? Pietism did help give us biblical doctrines and opened up our freedoms within Christianity and shaped how we follow Jesus right now. We are eternally grateful. But the devastating side of pietism that it's given us a platonic outlook on people's individual lives, and worst of all, in our culture. In simplistic terms, this is what this means. We're to be like pietists in the sense that we're to have a personal faith with personal savior and great personal changes within our life. But we took this all too far. We took a biblical revelation and we made a man-made doctrine. Pietism watered down, shrunk, and minimized the effects of Christ in society. Pietism says that Christianity only impacts and affects our personal life. Just want to take a side real quick. Think about all the songs you hear on Christian radio. How often do you hear about how Jesus came to save all nations and all people? What are most songs about? My love to him and what he's done for me. But what about everybody else? Pietism believes that Christianity was not intended to impact nations. Nor do they believe the moral law of God has any place in the governance of society. How can that be? That's the foundation of what America is built on. How could this be? Pietists would rather remove God's law, right? God's law is sinners need a savior. Sin equals what, church? Death. Is that not why we needed a savior to save us? The Pietist movement would rather just talk about and implement love and grace of God. The love and grace of God, the love and grace of God, the love and grace of God, the love and grace of God without the justice and the truth of God. But we have a balanced God. See, the prosperity message and the hyper-grace message were birthed from this movement. The American gospel, its greatest emphasis has been one of personal gain and not the gain of all mankind. Pastor Cody, you prophetically said some things this morning that you had no idea what I was preaching on. Even that song sings it. I love it. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. See, he's a savior for all mankind. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, male, and female. Church, when is it that we decided that there was a separation of the physical and the spiritual? Because from God's perspective, there's no such thing as the spiritual and the non-spiritual components of your life. What you do at the office or at home is no less more spiritual than what you did this morning at church. And there's not a lot of amens this morning. The Bible teaches us that true spirituality covers all of reality. The Bible teaches us absolutes. It teaches us the character of God. It teaches us the lordship of Jesus Christ that covers all of life, and it covers it all equally. Something we've lost in our modern secular American culture. We, in truth, live every day not only in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm as well. Sadly, though, we treat as if those two were separate from each other. Dear church, we separate parts of our life, and God never intended this to be. The church lordship, Christ's lordship, only is true here, but his lordship isn't true over there. Can Jesus be limited to where he can be reached in your life? We have mastered this way of thinking for 400 years. We have compartmentalized our spirituality with our physical reality. But what does the Bible teach, church? Does not true spirituality cover all of life? Does it cover all parts of life equally? If all things in our life should be touched by God and they have been affected by him, does that not mean that every part of your life is as spiritual as well as it is physical? Many times humans go to extremes before we reach a balance. Sometimes we see it as an either or an or. Either or. No offense, or family, right? Come on now. Right? Woo! Sit down, you don't gotta get up. Sometimes we see it as an either or. The truth is, many times they're both needed. Christianity affects the personal life of a person, and Christianity affects the culture as a whole. The personal and the corporate both should be affected by Christ. But there has been a great shift in our American Christian focus. We have a me-centered spirituality and not an us-centered or an all-centered spirituality. We look around at our world and we wonder, what went wrong? We stepped out of it. That's what went wrong. False piety has led us not only to compartmentalize the physical and the spiritual truths in America and in our Christianity, it has also affected us in what we see as truth as well. When you say Christianity is truth, do you really mean what you say? You may say you believe in the truth of creation, the truth of the virgin birth, the truth of Christ's miracles, the truth of his death and resurrection, the truth of his second coming. They become your individual and personal truths. But why do you stop there? The Bible teaches that Christianity is not true just in a group of facts or what you form in Christian church together. In our teachings, the Bible teaches Christianity is truth in total reality. It's a total of what is, what was, and what is to come. What do you believe your total existence to be? Why are you here? What part of God's truth only touches certain parts of your life, but not the other parts? Why would you choose to section out parts of your life that Jesus can touch and parts that he cannot? Is God limited? Then why do you limit him? Where have you learned that this is the way to live a spirit-led life? Where have you learned that you can jump in and out of Christianity? If you go to the grocery store, does the Spirit of God wait for you in the car? I'll be right back. I'll go get some milk. All right. I'll keep the car going. I'll keep that Christian music going for you. Then you can come jump back into Christianity with me. When you go to work, does God's mandates and his laws not apply there because the building looks different than the church building that you attend? Where does God's Spirit not go? Psalm 139, 7 through 12 says, I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning or I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or aisle 12 where the milk is and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Could it be, church, that we need to rebalance the mindset of piety in our American Christian teachings? Dear church, Christianity is not a series of truths, but truth itself. It is the truth about our reality. Jesus is the truth. John 14, 16. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you cannot come to the Father except through me. The world, yes, will start to be overrun with sin, self-love, disobedience, and evil when the end is near and when Jesus returns for his bride. This has been prophesied by our word, the word that God gave us. But where in our precious Bible does it say we're to wave the white flag against our faith for our world and our society? Should we keep our eyes upon the clouds only, waiting for his return? Have we taken our hands off the plow? Did not the saving grace of Jesus and the wonderful message of salvation reach you when you were lost in society? Why has our Christian focus been solely on our own gain? How many souls, cities, and nations have been lost because of our inward-only American spirituality? See, prosperity in God's word, in the gospel, has never been about money. It's been about souls. Souls being saved. We need to recapture the real and complete truth of Christianity again. I'm speaking to you. Will you give me your eyes, please? No one. Say it with me. Say no one. Say not me. Say not me. Not me. No one should ever be afraid to pray or get involved anywhere in any situation in the name of Jesus. No one ever. God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus was raised from the dead so you may have the right to invade your reality. Today's message is to remind the church that your personal faith is not to just be kept personal. Our personal faith is to affect all aspects of life, government, society, family, voting, social, and civil institutions. Our faith is not to be just part of our life, but to be in all areas of our life. The good news of Jesus, the gospel, was never meant to be the mindset of self-help. Come on now. That is exactly what we see on how many podcasts, how many things on Christian TV, how many books. Is it all been about spiritual self-help? It's to be transformational in your own personal life, yes, but it's to be transformational in the culture around you. And I'm preach sitting good this morning, amen? Right? My legs are just itching. Like, oh, come on. Settle down, boys. Just in a moment. In a moment. See, I'm concerned in the day we live in. Man, if your phone going to ring, just put it on speakerphone. Put it on speaker. They got to hear this. I'm concerned. Just a phone. Everybody got one. Everybody's looking over there like, what is that thing? Man, y'all got one. You probably got two of them. I don't know. See, I'm concerned about the day that we live in, as you should be as well. But a spiritual concern should never result in his church being spiritually crippled. Dear church, the second coming is close. But so many we live around has never heard of the first coming. How could this be? Is it possible that our inward-focused church for the past 400 years has been more focused on personal agendas, personal spiritual growth, that we forgot what the gospel was actually about? Reconciliation for all mankind? That not one shall be lost, that not one shall perish, that all can come to the knowing of Christ, that all should know the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Church, if we do not lock arms together now and face outward into our neighborhood, outward into our city, outward into our culture, and do something for Christ, all may be lost in just a matter of time. You heard this word before? Ambassador. It's in your word. It's in the word that you read. Ambassador of Jesus. Who has been called to reach all nations and all people by Christ himself? Dear church, I implore you to read God's word for yourself and discover again your personal relationship with God. And I promise if you do, it will produce a compassion for the lost in our society, no matter what their spiritual position may be. Our minds must be on kingdom things, because the spiritual is real just as much as the physical is real. The spiritual is not separate from us. It is here with us right now. And it will invade your reality everywhere that you go. All right, look at me real quick. Live each moment from a kingdom mindset. Live heaven to earth kind of life. The only way to be holy is to live from holy. The only way to become pure is to live from purity. The only way to become loving is to live from love. The only way to truly be giving is to live from the gift. The only way to become godly is to live from God. You don't attain heaven. You must let heaven attain you. You start living a heaven to earth life. Everything you do begins from heaven, and it should proceed to earth. You let heaven through your life touch the earth, touch every part of your world, and touch every part of your society on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's today's letter from God to you today. Amen. Let me talk to you the way I like to, standing up. I pray God's message to you today, God's letter to you today, spoke to you. Worship team, you can come if you want. Pastor Sonny, you can come if you want, unless you want me to lead. And you guys might as well go right now. Go right now and save as many souls as you can. I pray that today's letter was wonderful to you and that God spoke to you in a real way. See, it's really hard. See, a lot of times we get focused on the evil and the non-evil, but a lot of times we are even broken in the way that we consider things to be holy. And I'm telling you, I studied and studied and studied. I've never heard such a thing in my life before, but the reality is, in America, piety and the pietist movement and our self-focused faith has destroyed so many lives. We have done an injustice. We have said this, say a prayer and live how you want. And there has been groves and groves of people sent to hell because Jesus himself never taught such a theology. It's not truth. It's not the way that you follow Jesus. You can't jump in and out of Christianity. But how many Christians do you know? And how many times in your life, including myself, have done such a thing? That God, you can have all these parts, but you can't have this part. God, I want to take you everywhere I go, but when I get to work, I'm going to act a fool. I'm going to act like the rest of the world. I'm going to be ridiculous because you can't have that part of my life. Because that is a false, false pietist movement that we've thought, it's all about us, it's all about us, it's all about us. So when it's all about us, we can determine ourselves, when God can have us, and when he cannot. But is it not all about who? It's all about him. It's all about him. And does he want part of you? Somebody said yes. Somebody's regretting that. Yes. Oh, snap. Now I'm not going to answer anything else the rest of the day. Does God want part of you? No, he wants all of you. We should say in our lives, Jesus, you gave all of your life, so here I am. I give you the rest of mine. Right? We should not decide how much we're going to give him and how much we're not. God has a message for us this morning. And it goes against what most sermons you've maybe ever heard. It goes against almost everything you turn on Christian radio, where it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me and how you can change me and me and me. What's the point of changing you if you don't change anybody else around you? What is the point of carrying, like we saw this morning during communion, that you can carry the cure but you don't tell people about it? What is the point of that? It's a me-centered, selfish, focused spirituality. And may I say this? That when you deny God because of your own insecurities to speak up, to speak out, and to pray, you've centered your relationship with God to be around you and not around him. Who are we? Who are we that God would be mindful of us? Who are we that we could tell God no? Who are we to say, God, I can't do that right now because I might be rejected? Who cares? Who cares if mankind rejects you? They're not judging you. There's only one judge. And if you stand before God and you're not saying his name to others, he won't say your name in front of his Father if you're ashamed to say the name of Jesus. Now, I say this with a caveat. We don't need the old turn or burn kind of mentality. We don't need the on the street corner, turn or burn, y'all going to hell. Y'all going to hell in a handbasket. It's a giant handbasket and you're all going. What does a handbasket have anything to do with hell? Right? We cannot do that kind of mentality, but let me tell you, never be afraid to do what God has called you to do. This has stretched me. I don't have a problem sometimes talking to people about Christ, but the other day I was driving and I went up to a, it was a Casey's, a different one than the F Avenue that I want for Jesus, right? And I've claimed it, man. I've claimed that. Every time I go in, this is God's place, right? But I was at a different one, and this girl, and she was making me a salad, and she said she was talking to somebody else about being scared, and somebody's blah, blah, whatever. I said, what's going on, right? She said, oh, there's this ghost in my house. And I said, there's no such thing as a ghost. That's either the devil or his demons, or that's an angel. Right? There's no such thing as a ghost. She thinks it's a little kid walking around in her house. Everyone, listen. That's the American society trying to put wool over your eyes saying, oh, there's these ghosts. And you're either absent when you're dead, you're absent with the Lord, or you're not absent with the Lord. But you're not roaming around this earth trying to find another body or whatever that the world says. So like some rose up in me. Yeah, there's a guy over here. There's a worker over here. There's a worker listening to me over here. But I don't care. What do I care what they have to think about me? I said, listen, let's pray for that in Jesus' name. That's got to go in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is stronger than anything. And if there is a demon or something's walking around, let's pray for it right now, right? She don't know Jesus at all. She don't even know what I'm talking about. She's looking at me like, that guy's crazy. But see, in my kingdom mindset, I'm thinking she crazy. Because how do you not know that you just say, get out in the name of Jesus, right? See, we keep thinking we're so afraid to speak up what God wants us to do because we're afraid what society thinks about us. But we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to affect society, right? So I'm standing there, and by this time I said, let's pray. And then there's some more people standing behind me. And I don't hold her hand or anything because she's making my food and she's got gloves on. And this guy's going to be like, you better change them gloves because you ain't making sandwich holding that guy's hand. He's crazy, right? So I'm standing there and I said, let's pray right now. And I put my head down. I say, in the name of Jesus, whatever that is, whatever's going on, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, you must flee. You must go. Wherever she lives, and I got her name, and I pray over her life. And if there's any demonic, you must go in the name of Jesus. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, I'd like some tomatoes. Right? A little bit of jalapenos and a couple more. Okay. A lot more ranch than that. I need a lot more ranch, right? Okay. Hey, have a good day, right? I sit down and eat. She's out there smoking with her friends who roll up and whatever. I walk out and I said, hey, I'm still praying for you. Still praying for you. Get in my car. Thanks. Right? As soon as I drive off, they're probably talking about me. And praise God for that. See, this isn't about me, but God has affected me even in this this time right now. See, you can't just jump into situations. If you know somebody's hurting or somebody doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus, this is what you pray for. You pray for an end. You don't just come blasting Jesus' name, because all you're going to do is push them further from God, right? You're supposed to listen to the Spirit of God, not your own flesh, by doing God's works. Because if you don't listen to the Spirit of God, you lift yourself up instead of God up, and you get the glory and not God gets the glory. And that's the wrong way to do things. So you gotta listen. And there's certain times that people are hurt by God, or they're hurt by people of God, or they're hurt by church or whatever. And if you come in saying, oh, Jesus is gonna heal you, blah, 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 they're just gonna be like, dude, they're crazy. I don't wanna even talk to you. You've lost that in with them. What you do is you stand back and you get on your knees and you pray at your desk, or you pray at home, or whatever you do. You say, God, give me an intervention. Let them know that I know Jesus and I love him. Give me an opportunity, pray for him. But anytime there's an opportunity, anywhere that you go, never be afraid to say the name of Jesus, to bring it into that situation. When you go and vote, why can you not sit there and pray about what you're voting for? Why can you not pray for the other voters? Why can't you pray for the older people that are there stamping things all day, right? Help them out, right? They're sitting all day. They're probably bored, which they're probably thankful to be there. But all day, they need prayer. They get a lot of grumpy people and whatever. Why do we not think that God affects all areas? He's not just here. Okay? And theology says something that's wrong too, that God is certain places and he's not. See, theology tells us that he's omnipresent. The difference is some places he's honored and some places he's not. So you think he's not there, but he's everywhere. And guess what? If you're there, he's there, because he's in you, right? Invade your reality by the name of Jesus. Amen? Will you stand, please? You don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't know what this guy is sitting down, standing up, talking about. You don't know what these people are singing about, but you know there's some reason you're here today. That's because God knows you and he loves you, and he sent you here, and maybe this time at this moment is just for you. That at the creation of time, when God spoke everything into existence, he knew at this moment that this pastor, this guy right here, would be talking to you, that he gives you an opportunity to know him for all of eternity, that will change you. You have been in society, you've been, and you know what it's like to live in the world, and you know that it cannot satisfy you. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus, it says in his word, he's a well that never runs out of water. He's the bread of life, that he is all things you need, that if you come to him, he won't make all things good, but he'll make all things new. He'll make all things new. He won't just save you from every single thing that you walk through, because this world is broken, this world is hurting, but what is cool is you have an advocate. You have somebody to fight with you, to pray with you. He does more in your life for you, through you, than he will ever do or anything else could do in this world. He's the God of our salvation. And you know what's really awesome? It says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you give him that prayer, but then you live out that prayer, it says that heaven will be your home. That you're not bound for hell. That all the good things in this life is not the best things that you'll ever encounter. There is so much more. There is something amazing with him and his presence, and that you will be able to go to heaven and celebrate, and it will be perfect. If you don't know this Savior, I want to invite you right now to know him. There's nothing special about me, but God gives us something in God's word that if we come together and we pray together and we confess with our mouth that Jesus will save us, he will come and make all things new. And what I love about this, just look around, church, what I love about this is you're a family. Your family. Your family. So what does that mean? What do you do in your family? Yeah, everybody got messed up families. It's true. But what do you do in a family? Y'all messed up. I'm messed up. It's just what it is. That's why we need a Savior. What else am I talking about? But these people are supposed to fight with you, love you, build you up. There's people in here that can help you when you're going through a time of need. We need to look to each other. It's not just my job as the pastor to be in your life. I'm called to equip the saints to do the works of the ministry. You're called to go and love all the lost. You're called to go and love God's people together. That's why we're a family. And we're fighting this fight together. And we are better together. Amen. So if you want to join God's family and you've never given your heart to Jesus, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask right now that you'll raise your hand, and I just want to agree with you. If that's you today, will you raise your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I've never given my life to Jesus before. Raise your hand. That's you today. I didn't see any hands, but if that's anybody else, anybody, well, praise God. Next week, I'm believing there's going to be a ton. Why? Because you're going to go out and bring them. Go and bring them. I promise you, if you bring your unsaved friends, I will preach the gospel. I promise you that. All right, this is for everybody else. I want to ask you personally, have you had a me-centered faith? Have you had a me-centered focus? Has it all been all about me, Jesus? Not about you. You should do things my way. I alone am God. You should surrender. If you've ever been there before, if you've ever told God no and he says yes, trust me, step out, get faith. Am I not called to be bold in your life? Step out of your own comforts. If that's ever been you before, will you raise your hands to heaven? Raise your hands to heaven. This is the international sign of surrender. God, I pray against the pietist movement. I pray against the piety in our life that is not of you, the false piety. I pray against the self-focused faith that we have, that we forgot that you love us and we must love others, that you sent us as the church to go into the world and to the lost, to make disciples of all nations, to preach the gospel, to tell them your mandates, to tell them all that you must do, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that right now, each and every person, may you invade our life right now, not just at church today, but God, when we step out into our car, when we're getting the milk, when we're going to work, when we're with other people, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, we will walk with you. We want a spirit-led life, and may it not be focused on us alone, but God, when we have quiet time with you, fill us up so you can pour us out. God, make us vessels of your spirit. Fill us up now. We love you. We praise you. And we say right now, well, church, say this. Have your way. Change my mind. Use me. Here I am. Give me boldness. Let me preach each and everywhere I go. And whatever I do, may you receive the glory. In Jesus' mighty, glorious, powerful, above all name. Amen. Amen. We love you. Let's worship together. If you need prayer, feel free to grab somebody. Look around. Pray for one another. Pastor Sonny's going to lead us in another song. We love you. We hope to see you Wednesday. If not, bring some unsaved friends. Bring somebody off the street. Bring your enemy. Bring whoever. Bring them. They must know Jesus. And don't be afraid what they think about you. They're not going to judge you anyway. Amen. Yeah, yeah.